Bonjour et bienvenue à un autre Turn It Off avec Tracy. We appreciated that. You said it much better than I did. It's a new Turn It Off with Tracy, everybody. As my intro might indicate, we watched a French film. I think it's our first
subtitled.
Subtitled movie of the series. So. Diabolique, the 1955 thriller horror classic by Henri Clouzot. It's about these two women that are the mistress and wife, respectively, of this guy that runs. They run a boarding school for kids, and the husband, Michel, is a real shitheel to both wife and mistress, and they plot to kill him. And they do that, but things go horribly wrong at that point. So, like I said, this is probably more of a thriller than a horror movie, except for the final part.
And now we're going to spoil it?
We are going to spoil it for people.
So maybe we should tell people.
Yeah. That. If you haven't seen Diabolique and you don't want it spoiled, you shouldn't listen any further. But it's a great movie. I think everybody should watch it. So, so what did you think of Diabolique, Tracy?
Can't say I liked it.
Okay. All right. You didn't think it was a good movie, or you found it unpleasant to watch? Because
it was unpleasant to watch.
Okay. All right.
It was very, the whole, it's black and white, which lends to, it's a grim movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe that's part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to make it look as grim as it is. So that worked. Plot was good, but I thought a little bit predictable. I mean.
Really?
Okay. Michelle. All right. Never would have trusted because, you know, obviously he's a bastard.
Right. Right in the first scene, we find out that he slaps around his mistress, played by Vera Clouzot, the wife of the director.
Of Jacques Clouzot.
Yeah, no.
Inspector Clouzot?
They're the same person. When we first see her, she has got these shades on indoors, and you're like, wow, she's like this super hipster girl. And then she pulls them off, and you see she's got a big shiner.
Yeah.
And the wife knows it. The wife knows that she's the mistress.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that he mistreats her because he verbally abuses the wife. So, yeah, Michelle's a real a-hole from the very beginning. So you just found it unpleasant to watch just because
it's
a grim story, no doubt. You thought it was predictable, you said? You felt like you knew where it was going?
I did, yeah. Like, I wouldn't say I knew it at the very beginning, but I could see where it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole could be planning to murder Michelle along with Cree Cree,
mm-hmm.
which constantly reminds me of Cray Cray.
Her name is Simone Signore, by the way, is
yes.
the plays Cree Cree, the wife, who has a heart condition. That's a recurring thing that she's sort of very tremulous because she's got a bad heart.
It definitely crossed my mind. She just didn't seem like a super nice lady, but
Nicole.
You know, just because you're not super nice doesn't mean you're evil
mm-hmm.
either. But it just seemed like there was an awful lot of opportunity for her to be pulling a double blind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and you heard me say, like, at the last scene, I have no doubt this is going to be Nicole.
Right. I felt like you were engaged throughout it because you kept offering theories to me as you were watching it,
mm-hmm.
which always makes me think that you're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't offer any theories during Creepshow.
I wouldn't say I wasn't engaged. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you were guessing, and I just was like, okay.
What were my theories during
Well, just different. You were like, it's like he's not really dead, or he's in on it, or whatever. You just kept coming up with different things.
No, what were my theories during Dr. Fibbs?
Oh, Dr. Fibbs, yeah. Well, your theory about Dr. Fibbs was that you weren't going to do the show anymore, I think. That was your main theory. And that I was going to be sleeping on the couch for a while. I think that was your main takeaway from that movie. No, I figured, I knew you weren't going to ever ask to turn this off, because it's not...
Not that kind of scary.
It's more of a slow burn thriller until the very end. The final scene is a horror thing. I mean, this is the kind of movie that is like psycho horror, where some people say that movie's more of a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say it's more of a horror movie. And Alfred Hitchcock saw this movie. This was based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, just as a fun fact, Cree Cree and Nicole are lovers.
Oh, really?
Yes. And, okay, of course, they had to take that out because it's 1955 and they can't suggest that. Although, for 1955, I don't think they even had lesbians in 1955.
They said fuck and they wrote fuck on,
yeah, there was a couple of four-letter words in this movie. Yeah, it's very strange. But anyway.
So that's why their nod to the book was them holding hands.
Right. There's little thing, and they sleep in the same bed together, and they, like, at one point they wake up and you see they're both in, like, pajamas, and you're like, why are they sleeping in the same room together? And you're like, well,
there's only one bed.
There's only one bed. Well, it's okay. So, but anyway, this is based on a book, and the Clouseau, the director, beat out Alfred Hitchcock for the rights to this book by, like, a day.
Woo.
And Hitchcock was always jealous, and then when he saw this movie, he was so inspired that this helped him decide to go on to make Psycho. Because by the mid-50s, Hitchcock was making these kind of big, star-studded, glossy movies like To Catch a Thief and North by Northwest, both of which are great movies, but they were like not – they're not scary, those movies. And he wanted to get back to that. And he saw this movie –
North by Northwest is scary.
Well, Hitchcock didn't think it was scary. And so when he saw this movie –
Your Window? Scary.
Right. Well, that's – yeah. So when Hitchcock saw this movie, he was inspired to get back to the kind of gritty, dark thriller, and that's what – that's how it gave a Psycho. And of course, this movie ends with a warning saying, don't reveal the ending of this movie to your friends. And Psycho did the very same thing. Psycho, you were not allowed to walk into Psycho late. The theater would physically bar you from entering Psycho late. Nowadays, you can do whatever you want, they don't care. But yeah, so Hitchcock really took a lot from this movie, and he was very open in his praise of it. He thought it was. Mm-hmm. Good. And I said, I think the ending of this movie is terrific. I said, when it clicks into being a horror movie, I think it's really well done, where all hell breaks loose and poor Cree gets, we're going to spoil the ending, gets scared to death, because the whole bit is they've drowned the husband.
She has that heart condition.
Right, she has the heart condition. They've drowned the husband and the body disappears. They dump it in the pool and then they drain the pool and the body disappears and they're like, where the hell did the body go? And then the body resurfaces in her tub, which scares her to death and kills her. And that's how
he sits up.
And he sits up, yeah. And he's got the rolled back eyes and stuff like that. It's creepy.
So he had fake eyes over his real eyes.
Yes, he did. And we find out that that is indeed a whole double blind by him and Nicole.
I told you that I'm like, well, she was the only one who was in the bathroom when she covered over. So we don't actually know that he was under the tablecloth.
No, I guess we don't. We assume that so, because we figure that, how could Cree Cree not see the body at some point?
And I said that Cree Cree wasn't in the bathroom.
Right.
When she weighted him down and covered him over.
It's true.
So we don't actually know that he was dead.
Right.
So for me, that's pretty predictable.
Right. Okay. All right. Did it mar the enjoyment of the movie for you, even though you felt like you knew where it was going?
Then, you see how it unfolds for Cree Cree.
Right. I like the detective. There's a detective character in this movie who I have to think was an inspiration for Columbo, because he's kind of rumpled and he's got the cigar and he kind of acts dumber than he really is. He seems to be kind of like, oh, everything's okay.
It reminds me of Poirot.
Yeah, a little bit of that too.
Which, Poirot played by...
And your favorite version of Poirot is played by Peter Ustinov. You have a big crush on Peter Ustinov. I know that.
I do.
Yes. But I love the scene where he's talking to the two women and they're talking about the missing suit. And then the door shuts and there's the suit hanging on the back. And then the two women are like, and he's like, oh, hey, is this the suit we're talking about?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like I said, it's a very slow burn and it's nothing I didn't think you would ask to turn off. So, but I still thought you would enjoy it. Because I watched this movie many, many years ago and I just thought it was terrific. I just liked very simple story, and you just are kind of like, where are they going with that? Like, where is this body going? Where did it go?
I have to say, it also crossed my mind that any of the people that worked at that school could have decided to help the ladies out of their trouble, because mm-hmm. that man was such a jerk.
Yeah, he's jerked everybody, too. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He treated everybody like dirt, so I could see anybody wanting to jump in to help them from themselves.
I like when they do the school photo, and you see him, he surfaces in the school photo.
Yeah.
Like, he figures out, I love that they figured out a bunch of ways to just scare Cree Cree, like, bit by bit, you know. That's what, and the kid who insists that he saw the principal.
Oh, that poor thing.
Yeah, and they slap him, too. They're like, what's her name? Nicole slaps him across the face. She's like, stop lying, you little... And he's like, I know I saw it. And the poor kid has to, like, stand there for 12 hours in the, yeah, with a slingshot and stuff. So there is a remake. They remade this movie in the 90s with Sharon Stone. I've never seen that version. I heard it was god-awful, and it's directed by the guy that directed National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So, of course, you know, you'd get him to remake one of the greatest horror thrillers of all time. So I have no interest in seeing the remake. One other detail I do want to mention about the director, Henri Clouzot, he made a bunch of movies. He made about a couple of dozen movies. I've only seen three of them. But the three that I've seen are the three – he did three – I happen to see the three he did all in a row. The movie he did before this – is a thriller called The Wages of Fear about a bunch of kind of laborers who get hired to drive a truck of dynamite across these rocky terrain. And like they're it's one of the great all-time white-knuckle thrillers ever made. It's a fantastic movie. And then he did this movie, very different. And then the one he did after this is a documentary called The Mystery of Picasso, where he films Pablo Picasso creating a painting in front of your eyes.
Hmm.
He creates a painting on a pane of glass, and you literally just watch him create a painting.
Is it a bull?
Hmm?
Is it a bull?
No, that's not that one. But, I mean, it's like three very different movies, like an action thriller and then a horror movie and then a documentary. And those are the only three of his I've seen, but they're all excellent. Like, they're really good, so I kind of want to see his other movies because he's three for three for me. A little bit more about the movie. I read that, like, they didn't have a – Simone Signore had a really miserable time making this because apparently she was paid for 8 weeks. Like, that was the deal. And then it took them, like, double that to make the movie. And she basically got screwed, and she didn't like any of that. And apparently the director and his wife kind of, like – because they were husband and wife, were a little bit of a team against Simone Signore. So they kind of made her feel like the odd person out. So she did not have a lot of fun making this movie, apparently, which is unfortunate. And then, you know, so, but it turned out really well. I think it's a great movie. I hope you enjoyed it.
Enjoy.
Squinting at me.
Enjoy. Define enjoy.
Okay. Well, it's no Starman, and it's no, what was the other one you liked? You actually liked one of the horror movies I showed you.
The one with Nicole Kidman.
Oh, The Others. Yes, liked The Others. So, okay. All right. Well, like I said, I've been going easy on you the last couple times. You haven't even gotten close to asking to turn anything off for The Others or for Starman or for this, so I have to ramp it up a little bit for the next one.
I don't think so.
All right, everybody, we thought we had wrapped up this episode, and then I went back and listened to the playback, and this app that we record the show on messed up a little bit, and all the audio disappeared for some reason. So just to give you a peek behind the curtain, we're kind of redoing the ending of the show. And in the meantime, Tracy, you found a flaw that you wanted to mention in the movie, that or something that's at least puzzling you.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going out of sequence a little, going back to the movie to talk about it. But what is this? What is the little hiccup that you found with Diabolique?
At the very end, after Nicole and
Michelle, I think
yes,
his name is.
Michelle.
Yeah, right. After they pull off the after what's her name dies, Creakley dies of heart attack.
And they talk about how they're going to be rich, rich, rich. I tell you.
Right, because he's going to inherit We never mentioned Creakley is rich, and she's the one who owns the school, and he's going to inherit everything now that she's dead.
So Michelle is saying this to Nicole, and the inspector steps in and says, "Well, that depends on the judge."
Right.
So he knew what was going on.
He comes, like, out of the shadows, too.
Right. Like, he's standing off in the shadows watching them murder Creakley.
Creakley, yeah.
Well, that can't have been. Wouldn't somebody stop in and intervene on her behalf if they just happened to be standing there in the shadows watching this unfold?
It is
especially
strange.
If they were a person of the law. Like, a policeman doesn't just stand, well, except for that one part.
Yeah. Well, oh.
I went there.
You did. Well, he's an ex-policeman. He's a retired policeman. But yeah, the way they frame it, it's like he was just standing there waiting for them to pull this scheme off. And you're like, well, Creakley's dead, dude. You could have done this.
Save her.
If he knows that Michelle is alive, that's bad. And like, he could have stepped in at that point, not waited till we kill off Creakley and then do it. Yeah,
well,
that's a little weird.
Knows Michelle is alive to be able to. And he knew. Maybe he's the one who tipped me off to Nicole being the suspect because he said something like, "The mistress is helping you? Like,
right.
Are you crazy?"
Right. Yeah, it is a weird
So moment. He may have been the one that tipped it off, and it may have been that I was just going back and forth. I don't remember the order in which those things happen. I expect or suspect. No, I expect everybody. So, I just thought that was unlikely, and it seems like nobody would ever do that.
Right. And the way it's framed, it's like he was just standing there waiting.
Right.
It's not like he drives in, where he's like, "Oh, hey, I just came up with." It looks like he's standing right outside the door, and then he's like, "Aha!" And you're like, "Well, why did you wait? You could have just done that." Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he obviously knew what happened because he said it depends on the judge. So.
Right.
You know, I have to fix it in my mind by saying it's artistic license, but I don't think that it supports the story well.
Right. It does. Right. Kukri seems sacrificed for no good reason.
Right.
Yeah.
He could have and should have come in and saved her if he was right there watching the whole thing unfold.
That's true. I am amused at the idea that Nicole and Michelle get away with the crime for about 15, about 3 seconds, because the minute they embrace it, they're like, it's all ours, and then the guy's like, depending on the judge, like, wah, wah, wah. It's like, you master criminals got away with this for all of 3 seconds, like, the length of not even a commercial break, so.
Mo Rans.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think it works in the moment, I think, that scene, and or at least it did for me, and then it's one of the things later on, you go, hey, it's like the wisdom of the staircase thing, you know. It's like you think of
to me, it wasn't later on.
You got it in the okay, yeah. No, it didn't.
I didn't remember to talk about it, but I remember thinking, what?
Oh. And now I'm kind of curious about the remake, just to see if like they address any of those things again. I don't know if we're gonna watch it because I just heard it's really terrible.
I can just imagine the director, you know, wherever he is at the moment, hears me say, "Fix that," and he's like, "There is nothing that needs fixing."
Yeah, really. Yeah. I'm Henri Clouzot. You make a movie with Picasso, lady. You think you're so smart? Yeah. You make the Wages of Fear. But anyway, we both did enjoy the movie. Like I said, I've seen it a couple times now. I'm glad you liked it a bit. I just do want to do a quick recap of the feedback we got from the last episode, which was about Starman. Almost all the comments were about the Starman TV show, not the movie. That really seemed to strike a nerve, because that's all everybody talked about was the TV show with Robert Hayes and Erin Gray. She was in that, and that's David A. Gutierrez is like proto-wife is Erin Gray.
I remember wanting to be Erin Gray. So
really?
Yeah.
Well, interesting. So we got comments from Chuck Coletta, Iced D, Mazinger 1978, David Ace, as I mentioned, Nicholas Prom, Brian Linton, Derek Crabb, and of course, my partner in crime over at Superman Movie Minute, Chris Franklin, who said he's going to hold us to doing the Don Knotts horror double feature, would be The Ghost and Mr. Chicken and Private Eyes.
How could you not do?
And he also mentioned throwing in the Halloween episode of The Andy Griffith Show. I don't know what. I never watched Andy Griffith.
I bet you I've seen it.
The only episode I think I've ever seen of the Andy Griffith Show is that one where he talks to Obie about carrying a gun, where he's like, "I don't carry a gun because I want a man to respect me, not the gun."
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, yay, Sheriff Taylor. I'm big on that one. So maybe we'll hunt
Andy
that down.
Was a smart man.
So yeah, maybe we'll do the Don Knotts horror double feature, and we'll see if maybe I'm the one that demands it be turned off or something. I don't know. I do remember my dad taking me to see Private Eyes in the theater, and Apple Dumpling Gang and all those movies. So
Apple Dumpling Gang,
they did all those movies. So anyway, that's going to do it for Diabolique. Thanks everybody for listening. Thank you for the comments, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with an episode that I think is much more risky in terms of whether you're going to stay through it or not. The look I'm getting, everybody. Sorry. Come on, I've gone easy on you like the last month, you have to admit. Between The Others and Starman and this has been pretty easy going. So, anyway, that's going to do it. So I guess there's nothing else to say, but je t'aime, Tracy.
Je t'aime, Spanish, mas.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Do it, do it, all right.
Good evening, and I hope you're ready for a few jolts, because coming up is one of the finest suspense thrillers ever made. From 1955 is Henri-Georges Clouzot's Les Diaboliques. Starring the director's wife, Vera Clouzot, and the fabulous Simon Signoret, it's been described by some as the greatest film Hitchcock never made. And once you watch this dark, dank thriller, you'll see that's a very apt description. In the famous book-length interview that François Truffaut conducted with Hitchcock and was published in 1967, he suggested that the writers of Les Diaboliques, Boileau and Narcejac, then wrote D'Entre des Morts specifically for Hitchcock, who adapted the book for Vertigo. Of course, being a classic of its type, the film was eventually remade in the 90s in America, starring Isabel Adjani and Sharon Stone. And although I'm a fan of Sharon Stone, I think you'd have to admit that for someone who shared in more than a few turkeys, that one marked an especially noticeable low point. When the film was released, the posters advertised it as the great suspense classic that shocked the world. And although the surprise ending has gone on to be much imitated, at the time they asked you not to reveal it. And I would ask you the same thing now. If you're watching it with someone who hasn't seen it before, don't tell them the ending, or they might want to give you a little shock of their own.